Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we are cutting right through the noise to give you some really tactical, high-leverage knowledge to protect your music business. I mean, if you're an independent artist on Spotify, you know the nightmare scenario list. You know it by heart.
Oh, absolutely.
Your music just disappears. Or some random profile suddenly has your name. Your tracks end up on someone else's page.
Or you get hit with the dreaded streaming fraud allegation.
Exactly. It's overwhelming. And it honestly feels like you're just dealing with a wall. So our mission today is pretty simple. We're building a DIY dispute resolution playbook. This is all based on expert advice for people who handle this every single day.
That's right.
The goal is really to give you the exact language, the right channels, and a strategy to navigate this stuff yourself, hopefully long before you have to, you know, spend serious money on a lawyer.
Right. Because with platforms as big as Spotify, their default is always to triage and automate everything. You know, sending a frustrated message to some general support email, that's like yelling into the void.
It goes nowhere.
To cut through, you need structure. You have to speak their language, the language of resolution. These problems are just, they're too common to just hope they go away on their own.
Okay, so let's unpack that foundation first. Before we even get into specific problems, what's the one universal, non-negotiable step an artist has to take before they file any kind of claim?
Documentation. It's the absolute starting point, and is where most artists, they fail right away because they try to document after the problem has already spiraled out of control.
So you have to be ahead of it.
You have to be meticulous. We need screenshots of your artist's dashboard, you know, showing the problem. You need to write down the exact dates and times that these issues happen.
And the URLs, I assume.
Crucially. You have to collect all the relevant URLs. So that means the URL for your legitimate music, the URL for your correct profile, and of course the URL for the infringing content, the song, the profile, whatever is wrong.
And then just store it somewhere safe.
Store it logically. Put it in a Word document, an email draft, something you can search instantly. Because if they write back asking for a URL you don't have, you've just lost valuable time.
That makes perfect sense. So building on that, you talk about what you call a copy-paste paragraph. Why is having one single summary so important?
Because you are going to explain your situation to four different people in four different departments over, like, the course of a week.
Right.
And if you're relying on memory or rewriting it from scratch every time, you're going to introduce inconsistencies. And platforms hate that. They want clean, verifiable facts. A clear 3 or 4 sentence summary you can just copy and paste saves you hours.
And what about those mandatory identifiers,
yeah,
the language the platforms actually speak, the numbers you find in your distributor account?
Exactly. The keys to the castle. Those are the ISRC and the UPC.
Okay, break those down for us.
The ISRC is the International Standard Recording Code. Just think of it like a unique digital fingerprint or barcode for one single recording.
Got it.
And the UPC, the Universal Product Code, that's the barcode for the whole product, the album, or the single. These two numbers are what Spotify and your distributor use to track everything, payments, ownership, all of it. If you don't provide them in your claim, they literally can't verify it quickly.
So those numbers are kind of the shortcut, the way to bypass the standard customer service line.
They really are.
Which sets the stage for our core strategy here, the spider effect. Why should artists use multiple avenues at once instead of just, you know, waiting for one support ticket to get a reply?
Because velocity matters. It just does.
Yeah.
If you only send one ticket, you're totally at the mercy of one person's workflow, one support desk. The spider effect means you're casting a wide net.
So you're hitting the support ticket.
You're using the general support ticket, you're hitting up your distributor, and maybe you're also sending a formal legal notice all at the same time.
And you've seen this work.
Oh, it saves artists months. We had one case, a profile hijacking, that sat in a normal support queue for 3 months. Nothing. But because they also filed the formal legal notice we're about to talk about, they got it resolved. Full profile restoration in 48 hours.
Wow.
The spider effect is all about finding the fastest path to a human who can actually solve the problem.
Okay, here's where it gets really tactical. Let's dig into problem one. Profile crossover and hijacking. This is when someone else distributes music under your name, and it creates this huge mess.
Right. And the underlying issue here is intellectual property. It's a trademark issue. Your artist name, whether it's your legal name or a stage name, is a source identifier.
Like a brand name.
Exactly. It tells the world who made the music, just like the name Coke tells you who made the soda. If someone else is using that name, they are infringing on your source identifier, and that is legally protected, even if you don't realize it.
So we should treat this as a legal issue from the get-go. What are the two solution pathways we should use at the same time?
Pathway A is using their own system. You file the report illegal content form on Spotify. But here's the key. You have to select trademark as the reason, not a general issue.
And that flags it differently internally.
It immediately flags it for a different and usually more serious review process.
And pathway B, this is where our documentation comes in.
This is where you send a formal notice by email. You bypass the whole support system and go right to their legal department. The specific email address is infringementtechclaim@spotify-arspo.com. That's the channel for IP infringement.
Is that a little, I don't know, scary to just email the legal department?
It's strategic, not scary. General support, they handle, you know, password resets and playlist problems. Legal handles IP disputes. By using that email, you're signaling you're serious and your claim gets reviewed by a team that understands the weight of a trademark claim. They operate under faster service agreements because they're managing legal risk for Spotify.
Okay, that is a powerful immediate move. But let's talk about the long-term play, the pro tip that makes this all dramatically easier.
That would be federal trademark registration. Look, in the U.S., whoever uses a name first has what's called common law rights. You get priority just by being first. But having a federal registration, that just transforms the entire game.
Why? What does it give you?
It gives you a registration number. So when you file that report with Spotify or you send that legal notice, you're no longer just saying, hey, I use the name first. You are declaring I am the exclusive owner of this federally registered trademark, registration number, you know, XYZ.
And that one number makes all the difference to a platform like Spotify.
Because it shifts the burden of proof. With common law, they have to investigate your claim, check your history. When you give them a federal registration number, the government has already done that work for them. They know that ignoring a registered trademark exposes them to serious legal liability.
And you've seen this get results.
We have seen entire profiles deleted within days just because an artist provided a verified registration number.
That sounds like the ultimate shield. But what's the reality check here? I know it's not something you can just do overnight.
No, it's a serious business decision. You have to go through EPSTA.gov, and it's complicated. It can take a year or more. Hiring a lawyer who specializes in this is definitely recommended. But you have to see the cost and the time as an investment. Your name is the single most valuable asset in your career. Protecting it gives you stability on every platform, not just Spotify.
Let's pivot to problem number two, streaming fraud allegations. This is, I think, maybe the most frustrating one because Spotify is acting as both the judge and the jury, flagging you for paying for fake streams.
And the strategy has to shift here because Spotify is the one that initiated the problem. You should still absolutely send a support ticket through Spotify for artists. You have to register your position that you did not engage in fraud.
But the resolution probably won't happen there.
It's often limited there, yes. The platform has already made its algorithmic judgment.
So if Spotify is leveling the accusation, where do you go to actually fight it, to get your music or your royalties back?
Success is far, far more likely to come through your distributor. Think of your distributor, CD Baby, Drunk Kid, TuneCore, whoever, as your intermediary. They have a direct contractual relationship with Spotify, and they have the leverage to push back on these takedowns for you. They're your advocate here.
So what's the key language to use with your distributor to make sure they actually take it seriously?
You cut right to the chase. You include this exact phrase in your message. I do not engage in pay for streams or third-party guaranteed streams. Please provide the detection evidence and restore the royalties and profiles.
Let's pause on that phrase, detection evidence. What are we actually talking about? Is Spotify even going to provide that?
No, probably not. They won't give the artist their raw proprietary data. But by demanding it, you're forcing the distributor to go back to Spotify and ask for specifics. It moves the conversation past a vague accusation. It puts the onus back on the platform to justify their action to their business partner, which is the distributor.
And if the stakes are really high here, if the distributor isn't moving fast enough, this is where the spider effect comes back in.
Absolutely. You start with Spotify, you immediately hit up the distributor, and if you've lost a lot of income or your profile is permanently damaged, that's when you know you need a lawyer, someone who deals with digital rights and can advocate for you.
All right, moving on to problem number three, copyright infringement. So this is about the music itself, Someone puts up a fake collab, a fake album, something gets posted to your profile without your permission.
Right, and this is different from trademark. This isn't about your name. It's about the actual sound recording. So the pathway here is filing a DMCA notice under the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. It's the official legal process.
And we use that same legal email address again.
Yes, the DMCA notice goes to that same address, infringement-claim@spotify.com. But the content of that notice is very specific. It's a legal document.
What does it have to include?
You have to state you're the owner, provide your ISRC and UPC numbers, give a detailed description, include links to your original work and the infringing one, and, this is the most important part, you have to verify the information is true under penalty of perjury.
That sounds extremely serious. Why is that penalty of perjury part so important?
It's serious because it makes your claim legally actionable. You are signing a statement saying, under penalty of law, that you are the true owner. It's required because Spotify has to rely on these notices to take things down, and it protects them from liability. That formality basically guarantees they take your claim seriously.
Okay, so that deals with Spotify. But often the best way to stop this is to cut it off at the source.
Yeah.
And you had an amazing hack for finding out who the actual infringer is.
Yes, this is the YouTube hack. You look at the infringing music that automatically gets uploaded to YouTube. If it came from a distributor, the description box almost always credits them. You'll see, you know, provided to YouTube by TuneCore or distributed by DroKid.
So once you have the name of their distributor, what do?
You send your DMCA notice directly to the infringer's distributor as well. Why? Because that distributor can take the music down from Spotify and every other platform all at once. You are targeting the source, and that's often the fastest way to get that music scrubbed from the internet. And here's a little pro tip. If you want to try to contact the infringer directly, you can ask their distributor, if you forward this notice to your client, can you please copy me on the email? A lot of them will actually do that, and it opens up a line of communication.
And I'm guessing, just like with trademarks, having an official copyright registration certificate makes all of this go a lot smoother.
Oh, absolutely. Having a certified document from the government that proves you own the copyright just.
Wow.
It provides immediate legitimacy. It eliminates any question of, are you really the owner? And it makes platforms act much, much faster.
So before we wrap up, let's just briefly touch on those other sort of vague problems that cause so many headaches. You know, editorial issues, lyric disputes, claims you're on a fake playlist, or just a random album takedown that doesn't seem to be fraud or copyright.
Yeah. Right. For all those other issues, the ones that are often murky and based on some internal algorithm, you just revert to the strategy we use for streaming fraud.
So file with Spotify, but really lean on your distributor.
Exactly. File the problem with Spotify to get it on the record, but understand your real leverage is always going to be your distributor.
And why is the distributor the key for these kinds of non-legal claims?
Because the editorial and lyric teams, they operate by internal rules that general support has no idea about. Your distributor has a dedicated partner portal. They have specific contacts who deal with these back-end issues. They can bypass all the frustrating AI filters that are blocking your support tickets. They are your essential advocate for anything that isn't a clear-cut legal problem.
And finally, when all else has failed, when the documentation, the spider effect, the distributor, when none of it has worked, when do you know it's time to call in a professional?
When you're dealing with a platform that is just resistant and the stakes are high, we're talking significant lost income, permanent damage to your profile, a real threat to your brand, that's when you need legal intervention. If your structured, evidence-based approach isn't working, it's time to find an attorney to advocate for you.
So what does this all mean for you, the independent artist? I think the ultimate takeaway here is that stability on these platforms isn't a given. It's something you have to earn through being prepared.
That's right.
Your best defenses are knowledge, having those ISRC and UPC numbers ready, and the tactical discipline to use the right channel, whether that's a legal email for name disputes or your distributor for everything else.
It really all connects back to asset protection. I mean, when you consider how often these problems happen, the lost money, the hijacked profiles, you have to ask yourself, if a federal trademark or copyright registration can prevent all that damage, is the 1-year wait and the cost really a barrier? Or is it the most essential proactive business investment you can make for a stable long-term career? That's the question every serious artist needs to be answering right now.